and welcome to Black History Month. Each year, we take pride in bringing you a special presentation to celebrate the history of African Americans. This year, I'm excited to focus on the arts and education. Now, of course, joining me for a thoughtful conversation are left of center art gallery owner, Vicki Richardson, founder of Broadway in the Hood theatrical company, Tori Russell, writer and director, China Hudson, and education program manager for the Smith Center, Kim Russell, who happens to also be an author and an actress. Now, each of these exceptional individuals is highlighted in a new exhibit at the Government Center Rotunda Gallery, now through March 8th, you gotta see it. The exhibit is a selection of photographs of African Americans in Las Vegas who have shaped the community through their involvement with business, volunteerism, education, arts, and of course, culture. Now today, we are shining the light on a few who contributed to the cultivation of advancement of blacks in art in Las Vegas. Hello, y'all.
Hello.
Man, I'm so glad you all are here. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for asking.
Look at this beautiful facility. Wow. Vicki, this is amazing.
Thank you.
And the beautiful part about this is you're centrally located in the city of North Las Vegas, way from the Arts District. And you still got it going on over here.
Yeah.
This is what I'm talking about. Tell us about this beautiful facility.
Well, we've actually been in this location for about 26 years. Wow. So that's a long time, long sustainability, I think. And the exhibit has grown. And just by people who have donated things, have come out of the woodwork and said, I want to find a home for some of the pieces I have, and I think this would be a good home for it.
It's a beautiful home, and to know the education that takes place here. You have taken on the whole thrill of educating not only the elderly, like myself, but a lot of youth who just are still trying to wrap their brains around art and the culture of this art. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's very exciting to watch emerging artists and people that have a lot of talent, but maybe not a way to get it out there, you know. So what we try to do is just mentor as many people as we can and try to be supportive of those artists that come to us to find a space to call home to.
One of the things I definitely would like to let my viewers know that when you go to some of our community centers throughout the city of Las Vegas and Clark County, your fingerprints are all over some of those art pieces there, and we thank you for that contribution.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's just amazing. What inspired you to go into the arts?
Well, I think basically it's just my love of the arts, and that's been, you know, a long time. I mean, I can remember being encouraged to do art when I was as young as elementary school age. So having some really good teachers, some people that supported me, my family, and just being curious about it, you know, and wanting to find out as much as I could. And I had some good mentors, too.
You've seen them come through the door, and you have just really mentored a whole lot of artists, and just by the looks of the gallery here, man, this is just a sample of what you've experienced in the last 26 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She says, mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Well, it's grown a lot, and what's represented here is all authentic artwork, and we try to collect pieces that are 50 years old or older, and that's how we first started the collection. But there are a lot of people in our community, like Helen Tolan, and and people that have been back and forth to Africa and have felt that they wanted to share some of their pieces with us, and so it's a lot of community support here also. It's not just done by me alone.
Yeah, I've come to one of your classes on a Saturday and have seen the love. It's like a family unit up in here, man. Y'all have a good time.
It is. It's a lot of fellowship and a lot of connecting.
And good snacks.
And support. And a lot of food.
Yeah, gotta put that in there.
A lot of food.
Let's transition from the arts and let's go to the theater. And this young man here has just really done a fantastic job. Tori, we're so proud of what you've done since you've been here in Clark County, and to be able to bring a lot of stage plays to life and You know, it was by you that I had the pleasure, man, to meet Maya Angelou. I almost passed out. But Tori, we're so proud of you, man. Thank you for what you do. Broadway in the Hood, theatrical company. Tell us all about it.
Yes, sir. Broadway in the Hood is a nonprofit organization based here in Las Vegas, dedicated to training and educating young people, well, everybody basically, but in theater and the arts, and really a foundation, a place where people can come who are interested in learning about growing in their love and passion, whether it be for lighting and sound or set design or costume design or on stage or behind the scenes or behind the camera. We're blessed to be able to offer that as to the community free of charge. Each summer, we have a summer camp with between 50 and 100 kids who come over to First AME Church, and they all summer long for 8 to 11 weeks get to train for free. And that's really our major, major program. At the same time, we're blessed to have a season of shows that we do at the Smith Center, where we have wonderful classics like A Raisin in the Sun, which Miss China starred in, and A Soldier's Play, and then original productions like Mahalia, which we're doing for Black History Month. We're doing a tribute to Mahalia Jackson on February 9th there at the Smith Center.
Yeah, you've been doing some amazing work. What inspired you to go into this industry here?
So I was blessed. I grew up with absolutely nothing. I grew up with a single mom who really struggled to raise three boys. And the theater found me. I grew up in the hood. I grew up cussing and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. But it was the blessing of a mentor who said, look, you need to get your stuff together. And as a performer, I was blessed to travel the world as that. And then I was blessed to be the assistant to Tyler Perry for many years, and then blessed to travel as the tour manager for Dr. Maya Angelou. And so, with that being said, it was only natural to start a program where people who, like myself, couldn't access the theater. I literally would sneak into the doors of the theater, to the professional theater where I grew up. And so I wanted to give opportunity for people not to have to sneak in, and not just to see themselves represented on stage once a month, once a year during Black History Month, all year long, having the opportunity to see phenomenal productions and shows by local cast members who have the talent just as much as New York and Los Angeles and other places, and being able to give them the platform to do that.
That's pretty cool. Now, I gotta ask you, because you bring so much energy to the table here. You're like a kid that's probably bouncing off the walls, right?
Yes.
Were you always like this?
And I was worse.
Did you bring this to, you were worse?
Oh my goodness.
Oh wow. So with all this energy and, in your words, cussing,
yes,
right?
Uh-huh.
You were something else.
I was something else. I used to stand up in class, never having one dance lesson, and start tap dancing and start singing in the middle of my class when I was a kid. And most teachers said, get the heck out of my class.
Yeah.
Get out of my class. As opposed to, let me see how we can hone this and educate him on the timing of music, how dance can change your life, and so because the theater company that I was blessed to join took the time to learn that there's something interesting about him. Why does he come to school and have to bring a bag and wash up in the sinks? Because that's what I used to have to do. I used to have to wash up in the sinks. There were days when my family didn't have food. But nobody knew that. The school didn't know that, because it was all about, this dude's just acting up, he's just crazy, he's out of control. But it was the people in the theater that embraced me to see and find out who I really was. And that's what we do. We literally have young people who, former drug dealers, former gangbangers, all kinds of different people in different walks of life, but growing to a different point.
Yeah, that's amazing. So when you think about just all of the stage plays and your favorite Broadway show or musical, what sticks out in your mind, would you say?
Wow. What that I've worked on or that I've seen?
That you've seen or worked on.
Okay, so that's two separate things. So that I've seen, there's a show called Dear Evan Hansen that was just at the Smith Center recently. I was blessed to see it on Broadway with the original cast. The show speaks to millennials. It is a show that is so well written and that everyone can understand. That's the best show that I've seen in 20 years. And then show that I've directed or that I've worked on, I would have to say just traveling the world with Dr. Angelou and learning every single moment, sitting at her feet, there laughing and joking with her and having a drink with her and really learning about the civil rights movement and what it was like to be there. Like, her and Dr. King were best friends. Her and Coretta Scott King were best friends. Her and Malcolm X traveled to Africa quite often. And so to be able to hear these stories, to learn about Bayard Rustin from the civil rights movement and those things from her own mouth. Yeah. And then to laugh and joke and go dancing, because she loved to party. Yeah. At 3 o'clock in the morning, we'd go dancing.
There you go.
You know, so that's where that energy comes. Wow. And I love to share that. And I'm blessed to get it back through wonderful people in this community.
China, I mean, both of you two together on the same interview, this is gonna be, this is something. China, I'm so proud of you, the work that you're doing. I look at you on stage, off the stage, in the community centers, working with kids that people have written off. You are amazing.
I'm blessed to be able.
You are blessed, and you share your blessings.
Yes, to be able to teach African dance and to teach theater and to perform with Broadway in the Hood and to come to Left of Center and perform with Vicky and to work with Kim. Like, I'm amongst my mentors. These are the people who I'm blessed that they call me as a performer. It's easy to say this is what I do, but I'm blessed to say this is really what I do for a living. And most people don't get the opportunity to do that. So I'm just sitting in gratitude.
You're an amazing mother. I've seen you with your boy. That's your heartbeat right there. I've watched you from a distance with your son. You're an amazing mom. You're an amazing mentor. I've watched you with those girls. That Rites of Passage program brings tears to your eyes. Yeah, and you do it with the eyes closed. It's amazing.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yes.
What inspired you?
The Rites of Passage, yeah. I wanted to be who I needed when I was 13. Mm. And so my mother made her transition when I was 9. And so unfortunately, I was forced to grow up faster than what I needed to do. And I believe if there was a Miss China in my life to say, girlfriend, that ain't what we're gonna do today, okay? I believe that I will even be further than what I am today. But those lessons that I learned prepared me for the situation to be such an amazing person with the young women, because I'm relatable to them. I don't come from them of a space of judgment. I come from a place of, I've been there, I've done that,
awesome.
And you don't wanna do that.
You're awesome. Where are you from? You're not a native Nevadan.
What you talking about,
Willis?
Where
did
you
bring all of this from? Where are you from?
I'm originally from Chicago.
Yeah, okay.
Yes,
okay.
Born and raised in Chicago, and I've been here in wonderful Clark County for about 20 years. So, blasphemy, I am a native, kind of, sort of.
Welcome home, China.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're happy to have you. You've been really a blessing to us in Clark County.
And thank you so much.
I love the work that you do. You're very admirable.
Thank you.
All right, this next queen on this panel here is Miss Kim. Kim, of course, you came on the scene and you just kind of soared.
And now these two have almost got me crying hearing what they have said, because I am so fortunate to have managed programs to inspire artists, to keep them rolling, to say, keep doing what you're doing. Make that effort to go ahead and step forward and say, I have a project, I'm gonna go do it. I'm mm-hmm. gonna go ahead and create a theater program. I'm gonna go ahead and inspire children to move forward. You have made my morning, my afternoon, my week. I am blessed to be here, so.
Oh, but look at what you've done, ma'am, hello. And so to talk about just kind of the work that you've done, you come from corporate America. I remember meeting you, doing your thing with the company that you were with, and then all of a sudden, I mean, all your true passion came out, the arts. And you've not looked back ever since.
I'm very fortunate to be at the Smith Center and to be managing programs where I get a chance to put performing artists into schools, first for early childhood educators, making sure performing artists go into pre-K classrooms to give early, pre-K teachers arts-inspired workshops, and then to put performing artists into classrooms, into schools, and inspire teachers to use arts-based strategies for kids. It's a good thing to give children new ideas. So we have artists out there performing. Many of them are based, we have a lot of African-American performing artists that are out there. which is wonderful. We also have an opportunity for children to see multicultural programs. We have Chinese artists going out there. We have jazz musicians who go out into schools performing. We have ballet performers that go out in schools. So I'm very fortunate that our children, African American children and children of all races, get to see various talents that the Smith Center presents. So our education team is doing some tremendous work here. And our early childhood educators do some wonderful work.
We are so proud of what the work that you all are doing over at the Smith Center. Yourself and Myron and Harrison and all of you all over there have been just absolutely phenomenal over the years. And I'm so proud of the work that you're doing. And for you to travel around the world with your one-woman show, how did you come up with that concept there? Pretty amazing.
I do get a chance to go out and perform as Sojourner Truth, and the story behind that is really pretty simple. My father was a stand-up comedian, and we moved here, and he made the mistake of asking me to go to acting class with him, and I had to come up with a monologue, and the only thing I could come up with this thing called a speech called "Ain't I a Woman" by this lady named Sojourner Truth, and I didn't know what it was. So I did the research, and then I did that, and then somebody asked me to come to some women's group, and I had to do the research on her, and I did it at one class, and then somebody asked me to do the speech again and again, and I wound up doing the research, and before I knew it, I developed a one-woman show on her. And that, Sojourner Truth, I've taken it all over the country. I've performed in South Africa, and I was even invited to the White House. So Sojourner Truth has saved my life many times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I will just say that each and every one of us has the right to vote. Each and every one of us has the right to be a feminist. But each and every one of us must take that responsibility to say, study the law and step forward with it. That's all I'm going to say. And then you should read about Sojourner Truth and what she went through. That's all I'm going to give you. Read about her. Mm. And then come find me.
Ain't you a woman?
Right.
All right. So look, I'm going to ask a question here, and you all can jump in and help me with this, though. One of the things about the arts is that when we travel around Clark County School District here, the arts seems in the distance. A lot of our kids aren't connecting. I know you guys are bringing in a lot of kids to the Smith Center, but where are kids in some of the urban communities at when it comes to the arts, and how do we get them connected? Where are some of our kids who are in our rural communities? How are they being able to connect to the arts?
For myself, mm-hmm. being a dancer, I get the privilege to go into some schools via grant through the Nevada Arts Council, which is right here in Clark County. They have the ability to give grants and money to artists, and we can just go out into the community and give free classes and free programming. So that's an opportunity for our urban kids. I have a residency right now. I'm at Rainbow Dreams Academy, which is right on the west side, and I'm able to teach dance and theater there. As far as our rural communities, there are artists going out there, but not lots of artists of color that are traveling to those rural communities, because the representation there is just far in between. But it's happening, and it's a slow jog. Eventually, just like the gallery started off slow, and now it's this magnificent facility, hopefully we'll be able to get more artists out into Elko and out to Sparks, Nevada, and out to those places like that.
I think one of the things, too, is that it's important that the young people see art in their community, because a lot of times they're taken outside of their community to see something in a neighborhood that's kind of foreign to them or their first time there, you know. And that's why we're getting the artists so involved in public artwork, because they can start taking pride in things when they see them in the community. And you asked me, why wasn't I, you know, in the arts district or something?
Because I said you're not in the arts district,
and
you are banging
district.
Over here. Yes.
I think it's important that every community has an art gallery, mm-hmm. and that every community has art that they can see, that they can relate to also. And when they see that, they take pride. They take pride in their community. They take pride in explaining these pieces, if you have an educational program, you know, to go along with it, and they take ownership of it, okay, this is my gallery. You know, this is my community. This is my public art project over here, you know, around the corner from me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not so foreign to them. And when you have a place that, like all of these people do, that makes it feel like it's touchable. You know, it's not something for someone else. This is something that's here for me, you know. So I think that that's very important. And I think that the students and the elders and everyone, they show appreciation for that, that you stayed in the community and that you're working here and that you're trying to make a difference.
Absolutely. Tori, I want to ask you a question. Man, you've been doing some great work, and I've seen you pull out kids in the community that have never been near a stage and have turned them into stars, which I think is absolutely phenomenal. You have a big announcement, something that I definitely want to share with the Clark County community. Very excited. Congratulations, but share the news with everybody.
Thank you. Yes, we've been blessed to, we received an email the other day inviting us to come and to do the halftime show for the Golden State Warriors versus the Spurs. The Golden State Warriors versus the Spurs. So we're taking 20 young people from Clark County to Oakland to sit with Steph Curry, Curry, and all of the rest
of
those guys.
So can you imagine Steph Curry, I mean, on the hottest team in the world, laying eyes on all
15
these kids.
Minutes of local Las 15 Vegas
minutes
kids.
Of local Las Vegas.
And, this is major. So can I really would like to go back to that question real quick.
Yes.
Accessibility, knowing that they are worthy enough. Yes. That's how. Mm-hmm. It's we're blessed to have the West Las Vegas Library Theater and that art center there. And even the community surrounding, standing and saying, you are worthy enough to walk into the doors of the Smith Center, to walk into this beautiful art gallery, to walk into the Arts District and represent yourself and people that look like you in that community and any community across the world. So we can go into the Oracle Arena in Oakland, knowing that we're representing Las Vegas.
And we belong
there. Yeah. We belong with Steph Curry. We belong with every, because they are all human beings. And they started somewhere too.
Yeah.
So it's not where you are, it's where you're going to and how you get there.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I love that. And Kim, we talk about the Smith Center, but I remember you opening up the doors for a lot of young people to take the stage out at Mandalay Bay over there at the House of Blues. I mean, just amazing. How did that make you feel knowing that you were exposing? Because we were out, Will Covington and I, we run a little mentorship program over at Detweiler Elementary School, where we were telling these children today, all they need is exposure. And for you to expose a lot of these kids who've never been in one of these beautiful resorts we have on the iconic Las Vegas Boulevard.
We had them coming and learning about the history of blues music and to understand that you know, they'd come to the House of Blues, they'd get a tour of the folk art and this the original artwork and that how they could start building artwork with mud, first of all, artwork there, and then to learn about music and its simplicity and the basic drumming. It was a wonderful experience for me, but of course to understand that music and its African-American history is a wonderful thing to teach, so great experience.
Yeah, wonderful experience. So we know Tori spoke about his love and the blessings of working with our beloved, the Dr. Maya Angelou, of course. Who would you ladies say would have to be one of the best persons or one of the most famous persons you've ever met that made you go, wow? Yeah. And you all have met so many amazing people over time. What would you say, Ms. Vicki?
I think it would be Aaron Douglas, who is a mentor of mine.
Okay.
He's a very famous African-American muralist. And he's in all the books, you know. He's just fabulous. And just sitting in a classroom, he was head of the department at Fisk University when I was there. And just sitting in the classroom with him and being surrounded by works by Charles White and George O'Keefe and all of these art, I mean, this was the kind of space I was in at Fisk. Every place there was art. And I think that that had a very strong influence on me. And his philosophy of us being stewards of our culture, you know, and that we have to take responsibility, you know, with our lives and what we're showing and what we're, how we're dealing with other people. And just so many life lessons that I learned from him. And I think that he was one of the biggest influences.
Nice. Miss China?
For me, it would be Walter Mason.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow.
Coming from Chicago.
All right, so now you want to make everybody start crying. I didn't bring any Oprah tissue out of here,
yeah,
China.
Thanks a lot.
Walter Mason, his birthday was just this past Saturday.
Love Walter Mason.
And Walter Mason, I had the opportunity, I've been here almost 20 years, and I spent that time with one of the greats. Mm-hmm. And to learn and to listen and to just to get chastised and get corrected. Oh, yeah. Is one of the best things that you can do as an artist, as an educator, is when one of your elders and one of your mentors say, hey, that was wonderful. However, if you do it this way next time, it will be even greater.
So. I mean, just such a class act. Oh. And for Walter Mason, I remember meeting him when he was just the man, the Hilton.
Mm, Mr. Hilton.
Mr. Hilton himself.
Yes.
You know, just very classy, very open. And willing
accessible.
To educate,
mm-hmm.
and very accessible. Mm-hmm. And then for this man to spend his last days giving back.
Yes. Every moment.
Every moment.
Absolutely. Yeah. Every day.
Love, love, love. Ms. Kim?
There are two things. One, when you visit the House of Blues, the artwork outside, the bottle cap artist was Mr. Imagination. And I had him come visit several times, and I have a number of his artwork. It's just things made of mud and bottle caps. And he was a wonderful, loving man. He's passed away. Wonderful man. And there's a book out right now called The Underground Railroad. And if you have a chance to purchase it, it's an underground railroad that it's an imaginary railroad, and there's people escaping from it. And it has an ending that you would be very surprised about. So I recommend you read that book, The Underground Railroad. Yes. And Mr. Imagination.
Mr. Imagination. Can you imagine getting a name like Mr. Imagination?
Right.
I love it.
Moving forward in the 21st century, how do we expand art? How do we make art more appealing? How do we make art that thing? I remember as a kid, art was just, you know, wasn't always my favorite subject, having to go to the art class because I drew stick people, but just the arts and understanding the arts was more than just drawing stick people. It was music, it was dance, it was costumes, it was just the whole nine yards. What's you all's thought on moving art forward to the next generation?
In the home?
Period. Home. Nice.
The home. I think if families, my son, he says, Mom, you've taught me about the civil rights. You taught me about the revolution. You've taught me about everything, but you haven't taught me about music, black music. And I said, hold the presses. And I threw on Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh, boy.
And we spent the whole night dancing in the living room, okay, with Earth, Wind, and Fire.
What's your favorite Earth, Wind, and Fire song?
All of them.
Right.
No. Okay, Reasons. I love Reasons.
Oh, wow.
And so he's learning. He was like, September. I've heard that. I said, no, you heard the cover. No,
you heard the cover.
This is the original.
Yeah.
This is the
Isn't
original.
That amazing when these kids were listening to a lot of this hip hop and all this stuff today, and they're sitting there thinking that it's something original, and then you can Google it and go, now here's the original.
Here's
song.
The original.
Yeah.
So I think if families got around the dinner table again and listened to music, and visited art galleries together as a family unit, come over to the Smith Center and see one of the great Broadway in the Hood plays, I think art will be a little bit more normal. It's instead of something over there. Mm-hmm. It could just be something that we do together as a family.
Yeah.
I would say understanding, helping the world to understand that art is for everyone.
Yeah.
When you mentioned September, the odd thing about that song is it was written by a Caucasian lady, Allie Willis, who oddly enough wrote the music for the Broadway show, The Color Purple.
Mm.
So when we understand that music and art and dance is for everyone, and that we all are entitled and we all should embrace it collectively, then we can really be able to expand and grow on such a different level, you know, grow to understand that we all can embrace it. That one of our kids said, I can't believe a white woman wrote that song. Well, music is music. It's universal. Art is universal. Sitting in here, thinking of all of the hands that touched these items in this beautiful gallery, it's for everyone. So that's how I think we can expand it, understanding that the world deserves art.
I want to ask this question here because, again, as we talk about the arts and entertainment and all this stuff, in February, folks get excited about this thing called Black History Month. And we, you know, we're so grateful to Dr. Carter G. Woodson, who had the vision. But how do y'all feel when your phone lines get inundated with all the calls? Everybody wants you to come out and speak. We need you to come and entertain. Miss Vicky, do you have any art we can display? I know I'm one who asked you for some art for my event, but what's you all's take on Black History Month?
Well, we are much in demand during that time.
Right.
And a lot of people have a tendency to forget about us during the other months of the year. Like we go into hibernation or something and we come up and pop up, you know, during this time. But I just think it's my responsibility to remind people that, you know, that art is going on in our community every day, every month, you know, of the year. And that they should really take advantage of bringing that art into their classrooms or into their discussions out in the community all the time, because it's just a way, another way of connecting. And I know you said something about the connections that we have with art, and I think that one of the ways that we can make it stronger is that we can interconnect.
Absolutely.
Everything. You know, it's like we like to always have a component of poetry up here, or dance up here, or drumming up here, or, you know, something. And that's the way you were talking about, like, how do we get the community to get involved? And so I might not hook them with the baskets on the wall, but I can hook them to the baskets on the wall if I have Miss China come in, and I can talk about the fabrics that they're wearing in the dance and how that relates to the fabrics and the things that we're having here, what
makes
traditions
sense.
Each of these pieces, you know, each of these pieces weren't meant to hang on the wall. Mm-hmm. They're involved with a tradition, a ceremony, and if we can connect those ideas of ceremony and tradition and culture and how important that is, I find as an educator that it makes more of a connection with kids.
Let me ask Ms. China this. Ms. China, transitioning over to the West Las Vegas Arts Center.
Yes.
And the Performing and Visual Arts Camp that takes place every year that I just so love, and it's just
amazing.
It's pretty amazing. How do we get young people engaged and inspired to continue to grow this program and participate?
I think we're on the right track. Dr. Marsha Robinson instills in the young people the Sankofa to go back, get what you need, and bring it forward. And we had, look at Avery Walker. Mm-hmm. He came to the West Las Vegas Art Center at 10 years old. Yeah. He is 27 years old. And now he's the director of the dance company, the choreographer, the coordinator. So when you say keep them involved and keep them accessible to it, I think if they understand that you are here now as the student, there's the opportunity for you to be the teacher.
Okay. Yeah.
And to stay here, go off into the world, be great, go to Ailey, go learn everything that you need to learn, but always remember to come back and give it back to someone else.
The Sankofa, is that, I mean, how does that relate to what you do, Ms. Russell?
So much of the experiences that our children experience, we know it sticks with them. We know that they have the experience and that it helps them in the classroom. And then they walk away and they go, oh, I think I see it. I think I get it. And then they ask their teachers more questions, and they process it differently. And then they become more involved and engaged. And we know they're inspired. We know they ask more questions, and they're energized. Mm-hmm. And it's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they ask questions. They're more alert,
questions.
You know. And then they want to come back more and do more. So we know that we're affecting their lives one way or the other. We also, I know when we send out teaching artists into classrooms, that it inspires the teachers to look at the way they're presenting materials differently. Mm-hmm. She's a teaching artist, and she can tell you some of the experiences she worked for the pre-K teachers and how you sometimes, shall we say, you challenge the teachers?
I challenge the teachers to, I had an experience with a teacher where they will say that the student didn't learn well. I said, well, I just see a student. Well, he needs a little bit extra attention. I just see a student. And that's what I kept saying to her. And every time I would come into the class with the drum, he was right there. He was ready. Every time I would sing a song in Swahili, he knew the words. Now, how he relates to you is very different how he relates to art and how he relates to music. So my suggestion for the teacher was, maybe you should sing it to him. Mm-hmm. Maybe you should pay the rhythm, mm-hmm. and he will get it. Mm-hmm. Every time I asked him to do something, he did it, because it was with the rhythm.
Now, is that something we need to start looking at in terms of how we teach today?
Absolutely.
Tori, what do you think in terms of how do we relate to these kids today? I mean, you know, folks were talking about in our schools that maybe the time that the kids go to school. You know, we do the same cookie cutter type program. Maybe the kids should go to school a little later than what they have to. Instead of getting up at 6 and 7 and 8 o'clock in the morning, maybe you should have school a little later in the afternoon for them. Maybe you should sing certain things. Maybe you should dance certain things. Maybe you should come up with a different method or methodology in terms of how do you educate these brilliant minds that seem to be bored.
Meeting them where they are.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like that.
Understanding that it is 2019. There's Facebook, Instagram, phones, all of those things. So to see that there are iPads in a lot of the schools now and those things is absolutely wonderful. Now, if the rest of, just from my personal experience, if I was met on an arts level and there was funding for the arts to be able to teach those things through artists, understanding that there are kids that excel in math and science, and they're absolutely wonderful in that. And then there are kids who excel in arts and reading and those things. So meeting them where they are. So not just a standardized test across the board that says, the two forks on the table, what are those two forks used for? Well, if all I eat is bologna and cheese sandwiches for dinner,
I don't use the forks.
Then I don't need to know what either fork is used for. Mm-hmm. So it's understanding and meeting a child where they are.
Okay.
So
there you go.
It's not a one-size-fits-all attitude towards education. Each child is an individual, and you have to fit the educational style to the child.
Absolutely.
And you can reach them. Mm-hmm. You can reach them, and you can bring them out. And the team teaching and the co-teaching experiences are good for children, mm-hmm. because it has more than one person
all day
looking at them through different eyes.
I can imagine you could
things.
Use the visual arts for teaching. Mm-hmm.
I think you can teach everything through art.
Absolutely.
You can teach science, you can teach math, you can teach dance. You know, in my past experience, I've taught dance. I've taught literature. I've taught with a drama teacher, and I have co-taught. I've taught art, and all of it is so interdependent on each other. And so if you can learn to have, you know, art is teaching somebody how to see, basically. It's not teaching them whether they can draw a stick figure or not. It's teaching them how to see the world differently. How to appreciate it, you know, how to talk to them about this beautiful fabric that's in your dashiki here, mm-hmm. you know, to this beautiful head wrap, the colors, the patterns and everything. Well, colors and patterns and everything are in drama, teaching drama, to teach music, to teach everything. So you can start with it as a basis. You can start with each one of these disciplines as a basis, and you can teach anything you want. Anything.
Anything.
Mm-hmm. I can get a kid to do anything I want.
Mm-hmm.
Get a little bell, move your body a little bit, and they're like, okay, what are we doing? We're gonna count to 10, are you ready? And they just kinda go with it. Because we, as human beings, we love music. Whether you black, whether you white, whether you tall or you short, put a good rhythm on, everybody's tapping their feet. They're bobbing their head.
It's fun.
It's fun.
It's fun.
It's, everybody loves to dance.
It doesn't have to be torture.
Even if you can't dance, everybody loves to dance.
Everybody loves to move some kind
yes.
of way.
And then how are we moving this whole movement, if you will, out of February, like I say, to other months? You know, how are we moving this movement? Because, I mean, I've seen invites. I've gone to a number of things throughout the year, the year. But
February
by January 15th, when we say MLK Day is on, all the way up to the last day of February.
A large part of that is because the artwork we're talking about, the performing arts, there is a literacy base.
Yes.
So it's not just African-American history. We are talking about when we send out artists, performing artists, there is a literacy base. There is, a lot of times it is based on books. So it's not just limited to just the history. So, and oftentimes, many times the artists we send out also for in the pre-K programs, of course, has a math basis. So it's not just limited to the history. So you have to find the other connections.
Yes. The plugs. There you go. Well, I tell you what, well, let's do this. Ms. Russell, I'm going to start with you. Give us some closing comments in terms of just kind of how we can catch you. What's the latest? What's the good stuff that's coming up from the Smith Center and from Ms. Kim Russell? What can we expect over the year here?
Coming up, a lot of what we are doing at the Smith Center is making sure that more and more children are exposed to coming to the Smith Center to see the live performances of shows that are on tour. And of course, we are reaching out. We have our Nevada High School Musical Theater competition where we have high schools that are doing high school musicals. We have judges going out to schools to adjudicate them. Mm-hmm. And then we will have them, we have high school students that will be performing on the high school on our at the Smith Center. And then two schools will be selected to perform on Broadway with us. And that's upcoming. And of course, we have more and more of our wonderful, talented artists who are performing with the Southern Nevada Wolf Trap. That's exciting. And we are looking to expand and going into more and more schools.
A lot of good stuff. Well, good. Thank you so very much. And Ms. China?
I'd like to just close to say, if you teach a child who they are, whether it's Latino, African American, or Asian cultural base, if you instill who they are culturally, they walk a little different. Mm. They sit a little taller. They have a different energy or aura about themselves because they have a sense of where they came from and who they are. And it's a pride thing. It's a pride, not just during Black History Month. When we do Hispanic Heritage Month at the school, we have 4 Latino children at our school. And when I have the picture of Cesar Chavez up, and I explain who Cesar Chavez is, or I explain who the poet laureate of the United States was a Hispanic man. They're like, what? Are you kidding me? So I think if everyone instilled in their young person just a little bit of who they are culturally, they'll sit and walk a little taller.
Okay, beautiful. Mr. Russell.
Broadway in the Hood stands for Helping Others Open Doors. Hood stands for Helping Others Open Doors. We've been blessed. We now have our own space that is in the middle of the Arts District. Yes, we have a little small space. A company donated this space to us. And we are looking forward to really being able to daily present works by local artists, works by local writers, singers, dancers, actors. Creating our own and building our own 40 acres and a mule and making it happen for ourselves, the community.
Beautiful. Man. And Miss Vicki.
Well, I think the main thing about this gallery is the fact that it isn't like any other gallery. The fact that you can see artists in the process of creating, you know, that you can drop in anytime and find somebody that can give you advice and can help you with your artwork or art projects and things. I'd like to be more involved with the schools. We are with the colleges now, it seems. And when we first started out, we were more involved with the high schools, the Clark County School District. But I would like to see more involvement, more students coming through. We do a lot of projects, interactive projects, as well as just viewing the gallery. And we try to make the gallery feel like you're visiting someone's living room, you know, that you're welcome here, that we're attentive to you, that it's not one of those galleries where you go and, you know, somebody is not even welcoming you when you come through the door or act like you've come to the wrong place, you know? And I think we've all had some of those experiences. And so the main thing is that we provide an environment for our patrons that are coming in and for our students that are coming in that makes them feel that this is my gallery and that I'm at home here.
Very nice, very nice. Well, listen, I want to thank each of you very much. This was amazing, and the conversation was explosive. I think it's very inspiring. And let me ask one more thing really before we wrap up here. What y'all think about Wakanda receiving the awards that they received? Beautiful. For the arts, I think that spoke volumes. Yeah.
It spoke wonderful, because visually, it was just an amazing thing to see visually.
There was no denying it. Yeah. You know, I mean, we've been denied a lot, but there was absolutely no way anyone could deny the greatness of that
film. Experience. Yeah. It wasn't even a film.
Yeah,
it was an experience.
Loved it.
It was an experience on so many levels.
Yeah, you know,
I'm looking at the costuming and I'm looking at the backgrounds and the scenery that's in there. And you know, this is all art. You know, that's what these kids have to know. This is art.
There you go. Wakanda forever.
Clark County forever.
Clark County forever. All right, everybody, that's going to wrap this special presentation, Black History Shaping Arts and Education. I'd like to thank all of my guests. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
And of course, thank you all for watching. Thank